Welcome to all who have gathered here and around St. Louis and beyond to share in the proclamation of the word. Good morning to you, and where the people of God are gathered, no matter where it is a good morning. We all feel the spirit of your presence, and we give thanks for the spirit of God's presence that binds us together. We now rise for the remembrance of holy baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word you claim us as daughters and sons, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life. And above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit and renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Be with you.
And also with you.
We pray. Bend your ear to our prayers, Lord Christ, and come among us. By your gracious life and death for us, bring light into the darkness of our hearts and anoint us with your Spirit. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
A reading from the first book of Samuel. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shema pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." He sent and brought him. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then sent out and went to Ramah. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Reading from Ephesians. Once you were darkness, but now in the Lord, you are light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. John, the 9th chapter. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him,
"Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?"
Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When Jesus had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask,
"Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?"
And some were saying,
"It is he."
But others,
"No, but it is someone like him."
But he kept saying,
"I am the man. I am the man."
But they kept asking him,
"Then how were your eyes opened?"
He answered,
"The man called Jesus made mud and spread it on my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight."
And they said to him,
"Where is he?"
He said,
I do not know.
They brought the Pharisees, the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. The Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them,
He put mud on my eyes. Then I washed, and now I see.
Some of the Pharisees said,
This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath.
But others,
How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?
And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man,
What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened.
And he said,
He is a prophet.
The Judeans did not believe that he had been blind and received his sight until they called his parent, the parents of the man who had received his sight, and asked them,
Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?
His parents answered,
We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself.
His parents said this because they were afraid of the Judeans, who had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said,
He is of age. Ask him.
So, for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him,
Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner.
And he answered,
I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see.
And they said to him,
What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?
He answered,
I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?
Then they reviled him, saying,
You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses. But as for this person, we do not know where he comes from.
The man answered,
Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but does listen to anyone who is devout and obeys God's will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of someone born blind. If this person were not from God, he could do nothing.
They answered him,
Were you born entirely in sins, and are you trying to teach us?
And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? And he answered,
And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him.
And Jesus said to him, You have seen him, and he is the one speaking with you. And he said,
Lord, I believe.
And he worshiped Jesus, and Jesus said, I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near Jesus heard this and said to him,
Surely we are not blind, are we?
Jesus said, If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
To all who have gathered, good to be seen. That's my humorous or not so humorous response to the common greeting, good to see you. I always like to say, good to be seen. This morning, I can't see you all out there, but I can say, it's good to be seen and heard. For the man born blind, it was truly good to be seen. As Jesus walked along, he saw the man blind from birth. And as we were reading the lesson, with that very simple first verse, we could have said, the gospel of the Lord. That's all we need to know, that Jesus saw the man born blind. But what exactly did Jesus see? Well, not what everyone else saw. The disciples immediately pegged the blind man as a sinner, or at least as a son of sinners, and his neighbors. They could only see him as a beggar. They were flummoxed. Did he look different? Somehow he was changed. And the Pharisees, these lay leaders of the church, these lay powerful men of society, these pillars of society, could see the man only as one born entirely in sin, they say. Not much hope there. And as I was thinking about it, don't we also wonder how the man himself understood himself, saw himself? What was his identity? Was it as beggar? Sinner? Was he hopeless? When Jesus saw the man blind from birth, what did he see? One of my favorite theologians, very insightful woman preacher from Luther Seminary, Caroline Lewis, says that Jesus saw a disciple. Jesus saw more than a beggar, more than a sinner, more than an identity that was defined only by disability. Jesus saw a man, a fellow human being, a fellow creature of God. This seeing, this encounter, this looking upon this man as a fellow human was the key to the miracle. But no one else got it. How were your eyes open? Asked the neighbors. How did you become a new person, a new being, recreated? Later, all the powerful leaders asked the same thing. How did Jesus do this? How did your eyes get opened? Again, it all starts with that first verse. All is contained in Jesus' willingness to see the man. And for Jesus also to understand, to know, to trust that his willingness is God's own will. That this person, this blind man, be seen as a child of God. Is that not why Jesus was sent? To see us all, not as sinners, not as beggars, not as hopeless, but as children of God. Today, we began our service with remembrance of baptism, which is God seeing us as children. When we baptize, I like to walk down the aisle with the child. I lift him or her or they up for everyone to see. I love doing this. But the reason that the lifting of the child for all to see is so important and powerful and meaningful is that when I say child of God, we know it to be true for the child and for us all together. We know that God sees what we see, our blessed child, our beloved child. And we know that relationship, that abiding will always be true. We remember baptism like we did earlier, because baptism says that we trust God's will always see us as a beloved child, as in eternal sight. We trust even beyond the grave. We could say that the man was lifted up by Jesus as a child of God for all to see in this story. He was transformed, a new identity, not a sinner, not a beggar, not invisible, lost soul, but a new creation. And this new creation is signaled by the mud, reminding us of our creation from dust. And now a new creation. And he knew it. He was renewed. And as we heard, he says, I am the man. In fact, in Scripture, it actually just says, I am. He knew himself to be with God. I am God's creature, blessed in his very existence. But more than that, the man comes to know himself, see himself as a disciple, and is so acknowledged by the leaders. And as we read that, didn't you get the sense that he was pretty darn bold about it as well. He really stood up and spoke the good news. Much more if we think about Jesus' cadre original disciples who really could only see the man as a sinner. So this was a lesson to them as well. Jesus is always teaching the disciples. But yet there is a deeper understanding that the man will come to. He progresses from one who was born blind to being the man, to being a disciple. But there is more. And now, after he was driven out by those who did not want to see him as a child of God, Jesus himself would find him. Jesus himself would be with him, abide with him. The man, the disciple, experienced that Jesus abides. This relationship is enduring. Jesus finds him. The relationship was not in passing, but everlasting. And now, in the depth of this presence, of Jesus abiding with him, finding him when he is cast out, he sees Jesus in his fullness. The one who brings full humanity to us is then seen in his full divinity. And the man says, I believe, I abide, I am in Christ, one with Jesus and the Creator who sent him. As with the woman at the well, the story of the man born blind is also meant to be our story. How are we seen? How do we see others? It's good to be seen. Think back over your life. Think back when someone actually saw you deep into your heart, deep into your person, saw something in you, something that gave you courage, helped you find or define yourself, saw and accepted you for who you are, a teacher, a parent, a friend, a mentor, a lover. Today, once more and always, Jesus sees you. God in Christ Jesus sees you. Whatever has befallen you, or however you have failed yourself and others, however the world unfairly sees you or refuses to see you at all, or however it is hard sometimes even for us to look at ourselves, God is touching us with the hands of forgiveness and new life and new creation, the hands of touch of that new creation, restoring us in love, in care, and forgiveness to our full humanity. The leaders, they could not see Jesus. They could not see the divine because they refused to see the full humanity of the man born blind. And so they judged themselves. It is not Jesus who came to judge them. It is in their not seeing others that they obviously were the blind. Dear friends, it's good to be seen. It is joining in the act of creation itself. For when we see others, we are calling them into being. We are acknowledging with God that creation is good. But too often, darkness rules. We refuse to see. Denial sets in. I think about the climate, or even about the virus, or our common humanity. As the man born blind was driven out, so Jesus will be driven out. Our Lenten journey these 40 days leads us to the place where Jesus is driven. But the mystery of faith reveals that Jesus will be seen where no one expected to see him, where all the world's humanity sought to make him disappear, or to be seen only as the sinner. From the cross, Jesus asks each of us and the whole world, do you see me? Do you believe me? I will always find you. I will always be with you. I will always embrace you. From the depths of inhumanity and death, Jesus calls us, sees us to full humanization and life, in forgiveness, in love, in new life. It's good to be seen. This is our calling. It is our calling always as disciples, as children of God, to see others in their full humanity. And it is certainly our calling now, when there is every temptation to see others as threats, as sinners, as sick. In this viral crisis, in seeing each person as one who needs to be protected, cared for, we see the whole world and all its people toward restoration and healing. And we see them with hope for a lasting vision, for seeing them beyond this virus, beyond the virus of dehumanization that afflicts the world, toward a new community, toward the family of God. As Jesus walked along, he saw the blind man. He sees you. It is good to be seen. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in true faith, in true community, in Christ Jesus our Lord. This morning, we want to especially remember Ariel Vadner Floyd at a time of difficult pregnancy. We rejoice and give thanks at the marriage of Micah Light Shields and Anna Staudenmeyer, who were married on Friday. And we also, at this time of crisis, remember all of those who are giving care to those who are sick and giving courage and encouragement to those who need it. We remember especially Debbie and Peter Kennedy's daughter, Marie Stovall, but with her, all those who are in healthcare and offering their care and their service. We pray for their safety and give thanks for their life and witness of faith.
Turning our hearts to God, who is gracious and merciful, we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. God of insight, open the hearts of the church and the world to all who testify to your deeds of power, like Jonathan Edwards, whom we commemorate today. Raise up voices in your church that are often silenced or overlooked due to age, gender expression, race, or economic status. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of insight, empower us to care for the land and all living things that dwell in it and beneath it. Provide rich soil for crops to grow. Bring rain to lands suffering drought. Protect hills and shorelines from damage caused by erosion. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of insight, bring peace to all people and nations. Anoint leaders who seek goodness, righteousness, and truth on behalf of all. Frustrate the efforts of those who would seek to cause violence or terror. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of insight, you care for our needs even before we ask. Come quickly to all who seek prayer this day, especially Ariel, Paul, Alice, Deb, Marie, Mary, Judy, Ted, David, Barbara, Austin, John, Sarah, Robin, Roslyn, Brad, Julia, Ronald, Meredith, John, Katie, Joe, Candace, Evan, Michael, Alex, Marcy, Anne-Marie, Stacy, and those we say out loud and name in our hearts.
Catherine,
Mike,
Paris,
Jasmine, Doreen. Accomplish healing through the work of doctors, nurses, physical therapists, nutritionists, and all who tend to human bodies, especially Marie and other respiratory therapists and others in the healthcare field, caring especially for those with COVID-19. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of insight, help this assembly lift up the unique gifts of each person who enters, no matter their physical capability, capacity, cognitive ability, or sensory need. Help us to be creative and brave in making our facilities and our ministries accessible to all, especially during this time. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of insight, we give thanks for love between husband and wife. We pray your blessing upon the marriage of Micah and Anna and ask that they would be strong in your love. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of insight, you call out to those who are asleep and waken them to new life in you. We give thanks for your saints. Join us together with them as your children in this world and the next. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
According to your steadfast love, O God, hear these and all our prayers as we commend them to you. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And now, bound together and woven together by the Holy Spirit, we pray as Jesus has taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Once again, welcome to all in the name of the one who sees us, calls us into community, calls us to be life and light for those who are in need in the world. Things change so quickly day to day. It seems like we have a new world every day with the county and the city encouraging us to be at home. We will work from home. Sarah and I will be working from home this coming week. You're encouraged to email your needs, your prayers, your desires. We will answer, or you can call me at home anytime. You can call our cell number, 520-9997. You will get the best theologian in the house. My wife, Valerie, will answer, but she will let me know. However, we read the directives from both county and city to be allowing us to hold services this Wednesday. So we will have another Vesper service live here this Wednesday evening. And we encourage you once again to gather in spirit, gather around with your family, and we will continue our journey these 40 days. Also, probably keep your eyes open for more frequent communication, extra editions of the Bethel Connection, or just email blasts of prayers, of pieces of encouragement, of pieces of news for the well-being of the whole congregation. So, once again, good morning to all, and as my dear friend Nathan said, it is a good morning when the people of God gather around the word and around the good news. We join in prayer.
Let us bow our heads before God.
Look down in mercy, Lord, on your people, and grant that those whom you have nourished by your word may bring forth fruit worthy of repentance. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
You're only son, you're
Go in peace. Share the good news. Thanks be to God.